Well, good morning and welcome to Focus 580. This is our morning talk program. My name is David Inge. Glad to have you with us. This morning, in this hour of the show, we'll be spending some time talking about water resources in the state of Illinois. And I think it's something that probably most of the time a lot of people don't think very much about compared with much of the western United States, for example. The state of Illinois has enough water to meet our needs today. However, one thing we know is that the demand, both for individuals, for people who want clean, available water when they turn on the tap, and also for industry, that demand continues to grow. And there is some concern, some people are concerned, that if nothing changes, some of the state's urban areas could, in fact, experience water shortages sometime in the future. This morning, in this part of the show, we'll be talking with Dr. Derek Winstanley. He is chief of the Illinois State Water Survey. And this is one of the issues that he is very interested in and his colleagues at the survey are interested in. He's been there in this position since January of 1997. Before that, he served as deputy chief scientist in the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration and also as director of the National Acid Precipitation Assessment Program in Washington, D.C. He grew up in England. He went to university there, got his Ph.D. in climatology at Oxford, and has worked in the U.K., also in the Middle East, in Africa, and Canada, before coming to the National Center for Atmospheric Research in Boulder, Colorado. And he's good enough to come and spend some time with us. Just about a year ago, he was here on the program talking about the same thing, and we thought that at least once a year, it would be good to touch on this subject and get people thinking about it. And we asked him to come back, and he was very nice and said yes, he would. So as we talk, questions are certainly welcome, 333-9455. We do also have a toll-free line, and that's good anywhere that you can hear us. That is 800-222-9455. Well, thanks very much for being here.
Thank you. I'm pleased to be here and returning back to WILL.
As I said, and I think it's true that we have had the luxury here, at least in this part of the country, of not having to worry very much about water. Certainly other places, the West in particular, they have. And there's a much more pressure on people to conserve, to think about where the water comes from and how it's used. And we really haven't had to do that yet. Do you think that there is some time in the near future, however, that even here, say in the central part of Illinois, we will have to be more conscious of our water use?
The answer to that is yes, and it's also important to recognize that we are doing a lot in different parts of the state to conserve water. A good example of that is what's happening in Chicago. Mayor Daley has initiated a very active program up there to conserve water. For example, he has repaired a lot of old water mains that were very leaky. He's initiated a metering process because a lot of the residents in the Chicago area just had block payment for water they used. They were not metered and were not paying for the amount of water they used. Things like this have been implemented, and Chicago has actually reduced the amount of water it uses by about 160 million gallons per day. So they've been very aggressive in recognizing the need for water conservation. In Illinois, generally, we don't have water supply problems, but periodically, we do have major droughts. We know at the moment that much of the western part of the country is experiencing a major drought, and a lot of those states are engaged in improved water supply planning and management. They recognize that a lot of the plans didn't really accommodate them for dealing with these severe drought situations. And in Illinois, we haven't had a major drought for 15 or 16 years. 1988-89 was the last significant drought in the state. But we also know, looking at the historical climate record, that more severe droughts than that have occurred in the past. And statistically, we're about due for another major drought in Illinois. When droughts occur, as they will, that typically means that water supply is diminished and also the demand for water increases as people want to water the lawns and irrigate the golf courses and so on. So we really need to be prepared for conditions during the next drought when it does occur. And one of the things we're doing at the Water Survey is to quantify what we mean by a worst-case drought that could occur for the state. Mm-hmm. So we're quantifying the precipitation shortages that could occur during worst-case droughts in different parts of the state and translating those into what it would mean for reduced water supply in key watersheds and reservoirs, and also how it would diminish some of the groundwater resources. And we hope that when this report is published, that this will stimulate water resource managers to take a look at each of their own individual systems and evaluate their capabilities for dealing with major drought before it occurs. What we don't want to get into is a situation like they have in the West, where they're struggling once a major drought occurs. The whole focus of water supply planning and management is to be prepared. So that's why there's a lot of attention being given in the state at the moment to being better prepared to improve our planning and management of our water resources.
Yeah. Maybe you could talk a little bit about increasing demands on the existing supply here in the central part of the state. We're dependent on groundwater. We draw our water from the Mahomet Aquifer. And one of the issues I know that people in this part of the state and in the cities in this part of the state are concerned about is the fact that, today it seems that supply is certainly adequate, that population has grown, particularly in places like, I'm sure, Champaign-Urbana and Bloomington-Normal and all of those urban areas that draw from the aquifer. What are people thinking about in terms of future demand and how that's likely to play out?
We're currently engaged in a study to project demand over the next few decades throughout the state. And that report will be released soon. But what we know in central Illinois is that currently we withdraw about 30 million gallons of water per day from what we call the Mahomet Aquifer, from groundwater. From surface waters, particularly reservoirs, we currently take about 80 million gallons of water. That's for towns both directly on the aquifer and surrounding towns like Springfield, Decatur, Danville, Bloomington. And as these communities grow, they're looking for new sources of water supply. And a lot of them are looking at the possibility of withdrawing more groundwater in the future. So we certainly see a lot of increased pressure on the groundwater resources in central Illinois. And to try and provide a scientific basis for improved water planning and management, one of the things we're doing at the Water Survey is to develop a regional model for the whole aquifer, so that when communities want to think about installing new high-capacity wells, we will have the ability to evaluate whether there is sufficient water in the aquifer to sustain their needed withdrawals, and also to determine possible impacts on existing wells of introducing new wells. So this is the sort of tools that we're developing at the Water Survey that is needed if we are to use these resources wisely. There's large capacity in much of the aquifers and the groundwater resources throughout the state. There's certainly no overall shortage. The key is to make sure we plan and manage these resources wisely before we hit any problems.
So as far as the Mahomet Aquifer is concerned, we don't know precisely how much water is there?
We have a good estimate of how much water is there, a rough estimate. What we don't know is some of the details. For example, if there's a proposal to build a new major high-capacity well in, say, McLean or Tazewell counties, some of the studies that we have done show important connections between the groundwater aquifers and the surface water streams and rivers. So that connectivity is something that we have to study very closely. You can't simply just take as much groundwater as you want without influencing the amount of water that's in the connected rivers and streams. Mm-hmm. So it's that connectivity and the need to maintain certain amounts of water in the rivers and streams that we have to plan for, as well as asking ourselves, is there sufficient water in the aquifer itself? So those are the more detailed type studies that we're wanting to conduct.
Maybe I should just very quickly reintroduce our guest for anyone who might have tuned in the last 5 minutes or so, our guest is Dr. Derek Winstanley. He is chief of the Illinois State Water Survey, which is based here in Champaign-Urbana on the U of I campus. Questions are certainly welcome. We're talking about water resources in the state of Illinois. 333-9455, toll free 800-222-9455. We do have a caller. Why don't we go right ahead and bring them into the conversation? Someone in Champaign and line one. Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
I was just recently participating in a conversation about the aquifer, and I was told that the surface water, the rain or whatever, runoff, cannot get into the aquifer. And I wondered, and now you're saying that there is some connection with the streams, but I guess the question was, can the aquifer be replenished at all with, you know, or does it? You know, anything seep into it from the ground? I guess not just replenished, but also can it be contaminated, that kind of thing. Hmm. So I will hang up and listen.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks for the call.
Yes, the aquifer is a natural rechargeable entity. The water in the Mahomet Aquifer, which is several hundred feet below the surface, is generally several thousand to 10,000 years old, but it does get recharged slowly over time. The aquifer, for example, what we call the Glassford Aquifer, closer to the surface, gets recharged a little faster because it's closer to the surface. So it is a renewable resource, and surface water does get down over the long term to the aquifers. However, the deeper the aquifer, generally there's less risk of surface contaminants reaching it. So the most susceptible aquifers are those closest to the surface. And we do know from those shallow aquifers that we do find some generally low levels of pesticides and other human products. We also, as I've mentioned, know that the aquifers are connected in some places to the surface rivers and streams. So to the extent that those surface rivers and streams are polluted, we need to be very cautious about their interaction with the aquifers. This is part of the scientific data we need to get a better handle on to determine exactly where the major recharge areas are so that we can protect the recharge areas, making sure that the seepage continues to go through and recharge the aquifers, and also to make sure that undue pollutants don't penetrate the aquifers. Mm.
Just to make sure that people kind of understand what it is that we're talking about, I guess is the way I think about it, you have to think about if you could, if you take a slice through the earth, I'm sure, you know, people have the idea that there are different layers of things in there, different kinds of rock and so forth, and that also within those layers, there are structures that can act kind of like a sponge that will absorb and hold water, and that water has eventually started on the surface. It most of that, I guess, would have been rain, mm-hmm. falls down on the ground, eventually percolates down to this place where it can be held, and then we can tap into it. So all of the water that we are using now once fell on the ground as rain,
right?
And it is rechargeable. But we should always keep in mind that we are certainly capable of withdrawing it faster than it can recharge. So while it is a renewable resource, it's also it's an exhaustible resource. Mm-hmm. We certainly could use it up faster than it will refill.
That's correct. And we often use the term safe yield or sustainable yield, and that is the amount of water that can be safely withdrawn from the aquifers, such that the withdrawal rates don't exceed the rechargeable rates. That's a very important concept, and that's something that we need to quantify in more detail, exactly how much water can safely be removed from these aquifers. In central Illinois, the Mahomet Aquifer are essentially shallow aquifers. They are composed of layers of sand and gravel that were brought down by the glaciers tens of thousands, 100,000 years ago. And as the old valleys filled with the glacial debris, this created the sand and gravel aquifers that we exploit today. And between the sand and gravel layers, there are layers of more impervious material separating the aquifers. Underlying these shallow aquifers throughout much of the state are what we call deeper bedrock aquifers. And the water in these aquifers is millions of years old, even older than the water in the Mahomet Aquifer. And the recharge rates to those are very, very slow. One of the aquifers up in northeast Illinois that we call the northeast aquifer, deep bedrock aquifer, is currently being withdrawn at a rate that is probably exceeding the safe yield. And it's interesting to look back over the past few decades on the history of that and looking to the future where we may be going. Back in the 1970s, we started withdrawing water from that deep bedrock aquifer at a very fast rate. And by about 1980, we were withdrawing almost 200 million gallons of water per day from that aquifer. But fortunately, we were able to take a lot of the communities away from the deep bedrock aquifer supply and put them on water that's diverted from Lake Michigan. So we had an escape mechanism. And so withdrawals from the aquifer decreased dramatically to around the sustainable yield of about 65 million gallons per day. What we're seeing today in the past few years is an increase in withdrawals from that aquifer again. So from our current best data, it looks like we're heading on a track for, again, exceeding the sustainable yield from that aquifer. But this time, there'll be very little escape because the diversion of water from Lake Michigan is almost fully allocated. So whereas 20 years ago, we could switch water resources, in the future, it's going to be more difficult. So that's why we need good water supply management plans and get people to seriously engage in water supply planning and management in their own regions to ensure that we look at all the possibilities and making sure some of the aquifers are not unduly overdrawn.
Well, that gets to a very important question. We were talking just before we got going about the fact that initially we said, well, maybe we talk about water management, and I think you wanted to make sure that people understood that the water survey was not involved in water management. You know, it's a scientific study kind of outfit. When you look at, say, for example, again, the area that we are here, all of us that draw on the Mahomet Aquifer, on the surface, there are many different governmental jurisdictions. There are many different people who claim ownership and property rights to what's on the surface, and that we're all drawing from the same source. So then the question becomes, who does it belong to? Who owns it, if anyone could say that they own it? And how do we go about this business of allocating that resource, deciding who can draw from it, how much they can draw? Who is in a position to make those kinds of decisions?
There's one very fundamental law that applies to who owns the resources and how much you can withdraw. That is what we call the riparian doctrine or riparian law, which essentially means that it's a common resource and that people can withdraw as much water from the aquifer as is reasonable. The difficulty is in determining what is reasonable. That is not strictly defined. And in some cases where people have been adversely infected by, for example, drilling of new wells where their own water levels may have decreased, they've taken the issue to court, and it's the courts that determine whether something is reasonable or not. That's a very different system than in out west, where it's the law of first come, first serve. The early settlers in the 1800s were able to claim water resources as they claimed gold resources and other minerals. They own the water resources, and they can sell and barter those water resources. In Illinois and much of the East, we can't do that. It's subject to this riparian law. So a fundamental question is, should we, in the long term, maintain the existing riparian system, or do we need to go to some perhaps modified riparian system? And some of the surrounding states in the Midwest, for example, require mandatory reporting of water withdrawals. They require evaluation of potential impacts of installing new high-capacity wells, for example, which we in Illinois don't do. So a question that will be debated fiercely, it has been over the past decades and it will be over the coming decades, is whether or not the existing system serves us all in the long-term best interest or whether we need to modify that. But that is full of social values and legal implications and certainly beyond the scope of the water survey.
We have another caller here, also in Champaign. Let's go there, line number one. Hello.
Hello. In the Midwest, a lot of our farm fields and things are all tiled, and it has the effect, I think, of speeding the drainage water off. Does this have an effect on recharge of the shallow wells or groundwater supplies? And I'll just hang up and listen.
Okay, thanks.
I have not seen a detailed study that tries to relate the existence of tile drainage to recharge in the aquifers. It's a study that probably needs conducting. But to the extent that the existence of tiles does divert some water from being percolated deeper into the ground as against forcing it to be run off at the surface, it could have some impact. Certainly we know that the existence of tiles can affect water quality. We see much higher nitrate concentrations, for example, in some tiled areas than non-tiled areas. When we're looking at water supply, water availability, we certainly need to look at all these components in a landscape. We need to look at the variability of precipitation and temperature over time as it affects water availability. We need to look at land cover changes. Typically, we would expect the areas that are covered by urban growth and concrete to also affect the water balance. And we will probably expect tile drains to affect the water balance. So we need to do more detailed studies of all these components before we fully understand the system. Mm. And at the Water Survey, we're systematically trying to conduct studies to better understand all these components of the water cycle.
Other questions are welcome. 333-9455, toll-free 800-222-9455. We're talking about water resources in the state of Illinois. Our guest is Derek Winstanley. He is chief of the Illinois State Water Survey. Just going back to the question of how it is that we're going to decide how the resource should be allocated, is anyone suggesting that rather than, for example, if we have people who have competing interests to have a judge make that decision, that there be some kind of body, some kind of intergovernmental body where we try to have everybody's interests represented. We have political interests represented. We have scientists who can weigh in on the sort of technical questions and have a kind of a commission or a board and have that group make decisions. And rather than going through, perhaps resorting to the legal system, not that that was necessarily going to yield a bad decision, but maybe that's not the best way to do that.
Yes, there are different groups and proposals that would modify the riparian system. For example, this year we've seen a proposal put forward to the General Assembly that all new high-capacity wells, that is wells that withdraw more than about 100,000 gallons of water per day, should be the subject to assessment and evaluation before the permit's granted. Mm-hmm. And the Water Survey, if that proposal were implemented, would do the technical evaluations on those new wells. And it would perhaps require a permit system, which we don't have at the moment. However, that bill is stalled and may come up for consideration again next year. But there is great resistance from some parts of the community against changing the existing riparian law and this whole concept of reasonable use. So it will be a long, hard struggle for the system to be changed.
Next caller here is in Peoria on our line four. Hello.
Good morning. Mm-hmm. I have one comment and one question. Having grown up in California, it strikes me that current usage of water in Illinois is profligate. I'm sure that we all have habits of using water like there is no limits to its supply, and I'm curious if anybody is trying to encourage more responsible usage of water. And my question, I'm interested in your reaction to that, but my question also is, I'm curious what technology, new technology, has been developed to help you assess the size and location of those deep water aquifers, those deep ground aquifers. So I'll listen on the radio. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks for the call.
I mentioned at the start of the session that particularly in Chicago, great strides have been made for increasing the conservation of water, for example, by repairing old pipes that were leaky and implementing a water metering system. One of the key drivers towards increased conservation relates to the cost of providing water. And water, the cost of water in Illinois is relatively modest compared with other states. For example, the typical cost for water supply to the average household in Illinois is about $25-$26 a month, at least in the Champaign area. It's higher in some other communities. But in other parts of the country, particularly out west and Texas, for example, those costs are three or four times higher than that. So once water costs increase, there's a greater incentive to conserve water. At the moment, water is a relatively inexpensive common good. And, of course, everybody would like the cost of water to remain low, just as we would like the cost of perhaps gasoline to remain low. But water is subject to economic forces. And there's a tremendous amount of water available in the what we call the Mount Simon Aquifer, several thousand feet below the whole state, that could be used if it could be treated economically. But this is where it comes to cost again. The cost of water treatment, given the current technologies and fairly low costs of water, is prohibitive. There's tremendous amount of water in the Mississippi and higher rivers that could be withdrawn and used. But again, the cost of withdrawal and, in that case, distribution will be prohibitively high. So there's certainly an incentives that can be put in place for water conservation. I'm currently proposing that we hold a conference or a major workshop in the state to further discuss water conservation and reuse options. I certainly place it higher on the agenda than it has been placed in the past, and I hope we can generate some statewide discussion about these important issues. Part of the question was the identification of water resources in the deep aquifers. The way we get a handle on that is twofold. One, we drill wells down into the deep bedrock aquifer, and we can determine from pumpage tests the yield of water from those aquifers, how much water is being pumped out. And we can also determine from that the quality of the water from those water samples. And secondly, when we have enough information from these field sites, we construct regional groundwater flow models that reconstruct not only how much water there is in the aquifer, but how it moves, and also would allow us to determine the impact of drilling new wells. So increasingly, there's reliance on more sophisticated water models to allow us to have a broader regional view of the water available in these different aquifers.
Just going back for a second to the question of the relative cost of water, if you compare what we pay and what people pay in the West, I'm just curious about what it is that accounts for the difference. Is it mostly distribution costs for the West?
It's probably due mainly to the difference in the laws that I've mentioned. That here we have a riparian law where it's a common resource and anyone can tap into it, no more than the cost of drilling a well and providing appropriate distribution systems. And out west, where the water supplies are owned by individuals, there's a higher market value for trading and selling of those water resources. And as we see the severe drought in the West at the moment, week by week we see increasing discussion about the Colorado River being fully utilized and running out of capacity. So once you get into a market system for allocating resources, then that tends to drive up the prices. Mm. And of course, the West is a more water-scarce region. Typically, rainfall is 10 to 30 inches in the West, and here in Illinois, the average rainfall is close to 40 inches. So very different situations.
We have some other callers. And next in line, we have a caller in Champaign County and line one. Hello.
Good morning.
Mm-hmm. Good morning.
I understand that the local water company is actually internationally owned, has an international parent company. And I wonder, I'm suspicious that our local resource has in the big, their big scheme of things, greater purposes, and that that the use of the aquifer will be more generalized and become part of a distribution that that will increase the burden on the aquifer.
Yes, the water here in Champaign, Illinois, is provided by Illinois American, and I'm certainly not going to start speaking on behalf of that private company. However, I will say that Illinois American does participate in the Mahomet Aquifer Consortium, for example, where many representatives from the communities within the aquifer getting together to plan for the wise long-term management of the resources of central Illinois. And they're very active and interested participants in that consortium. It is a local resource, and not only does the wells from the Illinois American Works here in Champaign-Urbana serve the cities of Champaign and Urbana, of course, they also serve surrounding towns such as Tuscola, Philo, Sydney, and so on. So it is somewhat of a regional water distribution system. In recent studies that we've conducted, looking at what we call use-to-yield ratios in different parts of the state, Champaign-Urbana does appear to be an area that deserves closer study to determine how much water can be safely withdrawn from this part of the aquifer in the longer term. Those studies, we hope, will be conducted. As I mentioned, we are already preparing at the Water Survey a regional model that would allow us to take a detailed view of the whole aquifer. And we have, in fact, also proposed to do a more detailed study around the Champaign-Urbana area. And we have submitted a proposal to Illinois American for conducting those studies.
I understand that the Mahomet Aquifer is part of a greater aquifer system that may extend as far as West Virginia. And how does drawdown in other parts of that system affect the Mahomet Aquifer?
Yes, the Mahomet Aquifer and the overlying shallow aquifers a part of an old river valley system that started off in somewhere around Kentucky and flowed through neighboring states across Indiana and across central Illinois to discharge into what used to be the old Mississippi River that is now the course for the Illinois River. It's an old river valley that used to be occupied by the Ohio River. And during previous glaciations, the movement of glacial material from the north pushed the Ohio River to its current position further south. And the glacial debris filled that old Ohio River Valley. So, yes, it is part of a larger regional system. But the lateral movement of water from east to west is slow. So I don't anticipate much problem from Illinois, from people withdrawing from that aquifer in eastern Indiana or states to the east. However, I do think that when we're conducting these regional studies in central Illinois, we certainly need to incorporate, say, western Indiana part of the aquifer as part of those studies.
Next caller is in Champaign and line two. Hello.
I've heard that one of the long-term, I guess maybe threat is too strong a word, but something like that, to water supply from the Hamad Aquifer locally, is that farmers are beginning to install irrigation systems. And the pattern has been that once installed, sort of as insurance against dry years, they tend to get used every year. And then in the long term, this will be a big additional draw on the aquifer. Do you know anything about that?
Yes. The use of water from the Mohammed Aquifer for irrigation purposes currently exceeds, by a fairly substantial amount, the water that is withdrawn for domestic and industrial purposes. However, we need to understand where and why that water is withdrawn and used. Nearly all that water for irrigation occurs in Mason County and surrounding counties on the western part of the aquifer, which are very, very sandy. This is the old outwash from the old Ohio River that I mentioned that discharged into the old Mississippi River. So there's a tremendous amount of sandy material, which is very porous. So the water there percolates down to the aquifer and recharges it much faster than the eastern part of the aquifer. So because of that porosity, the farmers need irrigation because the water doesn't hold as much moisture in the soil for the crops. But also because of that porosity, the water recharges much faster. And in fact, the farmers that use that water in Mason County and surrounding counties have in place a system for measuring the amount of rainfall and the water levels in the wells. And we're comfortable that the current rate of withdrawal is well within sustainable yield for that particular part of the aquifer. It's very different from the rest of the aquifer, and you can't generalize about irrigation for the whole aquifer based upon that particular small area. The rest of the aquifer, there's very little irrigation, and I don't see why irrigation should increase to a large extent in the near future.
Thank you.
All right. Terre Haute is the next caller. This is line number 4. Hello.
Good morning.
Yes.
This tags in with the last question. I live along an area that was originally a wetlands, but they put in the last 50 years ago drainage ditches and levees. And anyway, in the last couple of years, it's been about a dozen of these huge irrigation systems go in, and I just wonder what the potential is for problems in the future.
I'm not familiar with that particular area that you're describing.
It's in Indiana, across from Darwin, Illinois, and Clark County.
Yeah, it's outside my particular area of expertise, but I would suggest that certainly when any major new withdrawal of water is put in place, in this case irrigation, that there should be studies conducted to determine whether or not it's going to have a substantial impact on existing natural resources, wetlands, for example. And wetlands are interesting because some wetlands provide recharge to aquifers, and others at certain times can actually take water from the aquifers. So they can be both sources and sinks for water, and it's difficult to generalize about the impacts of changing water withdrawals in surrounding areas. You would need to conduct local studies to be able to make those reasonable conclusions.
Oh, sure. If you're near enough to the river, and you had sandy gravel underneath, it would be safe to assume that you're probably getting recharge from the river?
It's more likely that you would. Again, without knowing the specifics, I'm hesitant to make a firm statement here. But in general, just as the areas I've described in Mason County in western Illinois, the sandy gravel areas do have much faster recharge, both from precipitation and, if they're closer to the river, from the river itself. So they're probably good areas for taking large amounts of water for irrigation and other purposes. It's probably some of the safest sources of water supply.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right, thank you for the call. We are moving into our last 10 minutes here on Focus in this first hour of the show, talking about water resources in the state of Illinois. And our guest is Dr. Derek Winstanley. He is chief of the Illinois State Water Survey. 333-9455, toll free, 800-222-9455, the numbers. Next caller up is in Belgium, over by Danville, line number one. Hello.
Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Mm-hmm. I have enough questions to fill another 4 or 5 hours, but how can I start about this? There's, in this area, which is related to your aquifer, the aquifer you're studying with, the Mahomet aquifer, stretching towards the east here, there are many places where there were springs that were taking water back historically, a place called Medlavia, and all kinds of things. So water has been used commercially for other aspects for many years. And the thing I'm wondered about is there's some large factories along the Wabash River who suck enormous amounts of water from underground for recycling of paper and different things like this. People don't really realize what kind of water usage they use, which is close to a million gallons a day out of some of these wells. The thing I was wondering about, though, is in other locations along this aquifer, people are pushing waste materials down holes to get rid of it. And it seems to me the two are going to come into conflict at some point.
This is part of the overall problem we've been talking about before. Because of the riparian law, people legally can extract as much water from the aquifers as they want without permits, providing that nobody tries to claim that it's unreasonable use. That's just a fact of the system and the law that we have operating. Certainly, it's possible that if there's substantial water withdrawals from aquifers, that you could see springs drying up.
Oh, yes, they have.
Yeah, so that's not surprising. However, the only way to counter that at the moment will be if the people who own the water or have access to the water from those springs wish to take it to court and claim that withdrawing water in substantial amounts is having an unreasonable effect on the water supply there. They would have to go through the courts.
I see. But the other and larger question and main question I really had, sir, was the fact that I don't know that it's actually being done at this point in time, but there was a large factory over here in this eastern part of town, eastern part of Illinois, that produced Freon, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
And in the byproducts, they couldn't send it to the local sanitary system, mm-hmm. and they couldn't get rid of themselves. So they drilled a deep well, about 800-900 feet down,
mm-hmm.
and they pumped their byproducts down into it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that seems like it's asking for trouble.
It does sound like it's asking for trouble. I would suggest that's more in the mandate of the Illinois Environmental Protection Agency than the Water Survey. We really don't get into those waste disposal issues, although we're very concerned about them. But I would suggest that you contact the Illinois Environmental Protection Agency to address that issue.
Okay. That doesn't fall in the bailiwick of what your expertise is, I take it.
That's correct.
I see.
Thank you.
And probably the final question is, the Great Lakes, you haven't really mentioned the Great Lakes. There's a great deal of controversy about how much water can be pulled from them to be shipped, as another caller called, mm-hmm. to other places in the world who really would like to have some fresh water.
That's correct. We'll probably see more pressure for trying to have access to one of the greatest freshwater resources in the world as pressure in other parts of the country increases. However, currently there are negotiations going on between all the states that have frontage onto the Great Lakes and the Canadian provinces that do also to consider updating and modifying protection and conservation of water in the Great Lakes precisely for these reasons that you mentioned. And we expect a report to come out this summer. So we'll see what comes out of that. But there is general recognition of the need to greatly protect and conserve the water in the Great Lakes. Certainly for Illinois, we currently withdraw about 2 billion gallons of water per day from Lake Michigan. But that is an amount that's capped by Supreme Court decree. And the Supreme Court said that we should not go back to the Supreme Court and ask for an ability to withdraw more water until we've exhausted all other potential sources of water, including groundwater aquifers, other water in rivers and streams, and also have demonstrated that we are implementing water conservation and reuse strategies to the maximum extent possible. So there are a lot of people very concerned about the issue you raised, and I think there's a lot of people also addressing the issue.
Well, thank you for your time.
Well, thanks. Just, I am assuming that commercial providers of water, like the water company that we have here in Champaign-Urbana, they are regulated by the Illinois EPA. Is that right?
They are subject to the statewide regulations of the IEPA and to the Commerce Commission and the Illinois Department of Natural Resources and so on, to the extent that their individual needs come under those agencies. They also have to comply with statewide water quality standards in the quality of the water that they deliver. So even though we know that there are some natural contaminants, for example, in the Mahomet Aquifer, particularly arsenic in some parts of the aquifer, and the arsenic standard is being tightened up in the year 2006, all public water supply companies are required to meet those new standards, and they will have to apply new technologies to meet those standards. The particular concern for arsenic is in the private wells, where the regulations do not apply. We certainly know there are a lot of private wells in parts of the Mahomet Aquifer that where the concentration of arsenic greatly exceeds not only the existing standard, but the tighter new standard that will be implemented in 2006.
Yeah. I guess that was I was assuming that if you're a water company, that there are regulations that you're required to maintain certain quality levels, and that you're also required periodically to test so that you could demonstrate that indeed you're meeting those requirements. Is the Water Survey interested in not in a direct way monitoring, but interested in the overall question about what is water quality look like in the state of Illinois, and are we meeting the standards that have been set, and how much do we worry, or do we need to worry about the possibility that there would be toxic contaminants in getting into the water?
Yes, we are very concerned about that, and we're doing a lot of studies in different parts of the state to document water quality, both from natural pollutants and man-made pollutants. And we're also conducting studies to help people who must manage the water supplies to understand the sources of the pollutant and what management practices could be put in place and which part of the watershed it's appropriate to put them in order to either prevent or minimize some of these problems.
We'll try to get one more caller. Chicago. Line two. Hello.
Yeah, hi. From all of my reading, the experts tell us that this country and the planet are overpopulated. The United States has a population approaching 300 million. They claim that the experts claim that the optimal population of the country would be somewhere around 125 million. The world population is somewhere around 6 to 6.5 billion. They claim that 2.5 billion would be about right. Now, it seems the problem of water that you've been discussing, and also other problems such as environmental and employment and so on, are all part of the problem of overpopulation, and that what you're dealing with and people in the other fields are dealing with are basically Band-Aids. Can you talk to that subject?
Go ahead. It's kind of a different issue, but it's not unrelated.
The supply of water is, of course, basic to supporting population and an economic development. And I think the heart of the matter goes down to economics. Certainly in this country, we have about 280 million people at the moment. And we know with the drought in the West that some of those communities are facing water supply problems, and the price of water will increase. ultimately, there's a tremendous supply of water in the deep bedrock aquifers that I mentioned, and in the sea, of course. That water must be treated at considerable expense and distributed to places that need it. So it's difficult to provide an answer of what an optimal population or economic growth might be. It largely depends upon what people are prepared to pay for it. And the greater the demand, the higher the cost, and the more people must pay for it. But certainly we need to protect and preserve and wisely manage the resources, particularly here in Illinois, so that we don't create problems of unavailable water resources, water shortages, and so on. There is no reason at all that anyone in this state should ever have a water shortage problem if they conduct water supply and management practices in their long-term interest.
We will have to stop there because we're at the end of the time. For people, by the way, who are interested in learning more about the Illinois State Water Survey and reading about water issues, they do have a website. There's a lot of information there. So you can, if you have internet access, just put Illinois State Water Survey in your browser, and that's probably the easiest way to find it. And our guest this morning, Dr. Derek Winstanley, he is chief of the Illinois State Water Survey. Thank you very much.
Thank you. I've enjoyed being with you again.